Freddie is my very good friend.
I allowed him to drive in India.
Yeah. And I can drive in India. Hey, in a city as well. And if you've ever been to an Indian city, that's a feat. That really is a feat. Because there are no road signs. And people even go roundabouts the wrong way. Even though everybody else is going the other way. So, Linda and I have known Kieran and Freddie for probably about 15 years, if not more. And we have become good personal friends with them. What God has called them to do is, in my humble opinion, some of the best, most well thought through, strategic working with God's love for the poor that I have ever seen. But it's done not because they want to be the best, although they do want to be the best, but it's done because they have a really deep love of God and they have a really deep love of people who are suffering. They have given their lives as followers of Jesus in a Hindu country to serve the poor. And that's no mean feat because both Kieran and Freddie are very well educated people. And they could have had they chosen, very good careers for themselves. But they've chosen to serve the poor. And God's blessed them for doing that. So I would ask you as we pray that one of your prayers in your mind would be, God, will you speak to me? What is it that you want to say to me through what Freddie's got to speak this morning? Jesus, we want to thank you that Freddie's willing to come all the way, thousands of miles, just to come talk to us and be our friend. We want to honour him for that. And for all this travelling he's doing over the next few weeks and the schedule he's got, I want to pray blessing on him. That you'll be with him as he's away from his family. That you'll put words in his mouth every single time he stands up to speak. That it'll be you speaking through him. And that he will inspire and challenge and convict us and those others that he speaks to about your love. Your love for us and your love for those less fortunate than us. Amen.
Good morning. I'm very happy to be in your midst this morning. And I had to cancel my first part of the trip because of some emergency meetings in Delhi. And so my first speaking assignment begins from Marlo.
Right.
Amen. And I wrote to Linda. I said, I hope it's not Maidenhead because I'm scared of those big people there. Marlo's a little smaller place. I said, okay, I'd love to be here. But praise God, big or small, the river is beginning to flow. Amen? And that is so important in life. As we serve God, we must maintain the flow of the river. And as the river flows, wherever it goes, it brings forth life.
Amen.
This morning I want to speak to you something that's been in my heart for a couple of weeks. And I was praying and asking God, give me one thing that I will share as I travel. And I got my thoughts together with great difficulty. I'm not a writer, but I try to copy, write, think, talk it with my wife. And I'll also show a few slides of Asha as I speak to you. You know, my to-do list is not very high profile. I tend to write things in a piece of paper. It's all handwritten. I do not carry a Palm Pilot or a BlackBerry. Or even my own trusted laptop sometimes fails me. But a list is a list, a long series of items that keep my feet on fire. And I know you people here, you business people, you know, you got a long list always. But what's troubling is that as you get to the bottom of one page of tasks, there's often a task of a note that says, see next page.
Yeah.
And the scariest page is the one from yesterday that reminds you that I didn't get it done after all.
Yeah.
It's easy to begin to feel that life is only about living for the list. But if all of life is just about the stuff to do, it becomes a little more than an accumulation of random, disconnected events in life. You climb in bed at the end of each day, exhausted, thinking to yourself, there really has to be more to life than this. The good news is that God has an overriding purpose for your life that encompasses everything on your list. When we put that purpose at the top of our priorities. Even a day with an incomplete task can be a smashingly significant, successful day. Yeah. And that's what we see in Asha. We have a long list to do every day, and we never accomplish it. Yeah. But every day is a successful and a brilliant day. If every day I could just remember what Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained at this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. God's purpose for you is that you live to glorify Him. Not that you stop doing the list thing, but that everything on your list can be done to His glory. It's just that simple. Glorifying God in all that we do takes us beyond the routine of just getting things done. It fills the stuff on the list with a new sense of significance and leaves us feeling that even the smallest task is significant. Getting the right degree, finding the right job, making lots of money, or landing a meaningful relationship is no longer the end of the game. Thankfully, to those kinds of pursuits left to themselves soon run out of gas. Like some of your garages don't have diesel sometimes. But getting a degree or doing any one of those things so that you can use the degree to glorify God instead of yourself fills your life with a new and lasting sense of significance. And this is what exactly Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. There is nothing in your life that can't be done to glorify. There's nothing. Everything that you lay your hands on, you can bring glory to God. Because you are exalting the King. You don't want to be the center of attraction. You don't want to be the person getting the applause. But you want Jesus to be lifted up. And everything you lay your hands on, God will get the glory. I want to show you a few shots. That's the finance minister, Mr. P.C. Chidambaram. He came and visited Asha because we went and met him. When my elder daughter got admission into Harvard University, my wife took up the opportunity to write a letter to him and said, because he's a Harvard Law graduate, his business school, he studied from Harvard, and she wrote a letter to him. Yeah. And immediately he pounced on it. He said, why don't you come and have a meeting? That was the first time we met this gentleman. And we had a good meeting with him, and he and Kiran was able to share with him what Asha is doing. And he said, I would like to come and see the work. But that was enough. And every time she would write a letter to him, you promised to come, would you like to come and see? So one day when she met him over Christmas, he said, I want to come next week. So, very close, she said. He said, what about January 19th? He said, yes, that was the date. When he came, no security, he didn't tell anybody, but he came, he said, I'll be only there for half an hour. He stayed for over 2 hours with us, and he started off a microcredit scheme, the first of its kind in India. And that was for the slum dwellers. And when he called for an emergency meeting, the managers of the banks were called, not the top CEO or the regional heads. And they were so scared because in the history of India, it was the first time they are meeting the finance minister. We have a real brilliant protocol system in our country, thanks to the British, who left it really solid that we, you know, follow the system, and we're really scared of our higher-ups. And the managers were so scared. What is this man going to say? And this microcredit scheme started off, was launched in collaboration with the state government, 9 sectoral banks, with Asha and the Ministry of Finance, and started giving credit, microcredit loans to the poorest of the poor. People who had no bank accounts. It was zero balance credit there. And they said, he said, okay, we'll change the system. So what? But he said, 10% rate of interest, and if you manage to pay your loans on time and you are not a defaulter, overall effect will only be 9%, the lowest of its kind in India for a huge loan. And various kinds of people from Ektavir got loans. They came all dressed up, took the loans from the hands of the finance minister. And this is some of the things that they have done. Some of them have started a barber shop. And this guy is really good. He cuts the hair. You see the new style. They just give him a little braid and the hair. They watch Hollywood and Bollywood, everything. And they copy everybody. And he's good. And he always tells, come on, sir, I'll give you a haircut. And I'm a little scared. Oh, my goodness, I'm not going to get there. But I think, as I believe in Christ, and I feel that, yes, I'm investing in his life, I can go and get my haircut. In fact, when I was putting the slide up, I felt as God was saying to me, the next time you go for a haircut, you go there. That'll be reinforcing what he's doing, giving him confidence. This lady has started building her home. She never had a place to live in Ektavir, but she's got everything set up, a big loan that she has got. And I want to tell you the story of this gentleman. He's Mahfuz. And after he got the loan, he brought this little truck, this carrier where he transports goods. But before he started it, he wanted to meet Kiran. And we said, I'm sorry, you can't meet her because you don't have an appointment. So he said, I don't care. If I don't have an appointment, I'm not going. So he stood outside the office. I said, you can't just meet her. You talk to her secretary, take an appointment. He said, I'm not going. I said, all right, okay. I told Kiran, that's the guy who wants to meet you. She said, I'm not meeting him. But he said, he's not going. He wants to meet you. Then she said, where is he from? Ektavir. He's alone. He's like, let him come in. So he came in, and he had tears in his eyes. And he fell on our feet and started crying. And he said to Kiran, you don't know who I am. I'm the man who robbed your office 7 years ago. I masterminded the robbery. I nearly killed your guards. And I took away all your money. But you never held it against me. And you gave this loan to me. His life completely changed. Hallelujah. That is the transforming power of the gospel. Whatever you do, you can bring glory to God. We never knew that. We forgot about it. We never knew Mahfuz was the ringleader. He served his term in jail. But I'm just trying to emphasize a point. That whatever you do, it may be very insignificant. But if your attitude is right, you can bring glory to God. This man is totally changed. His business has picked up. He's got money coming into the family. And then we started off this counseling sessions for children. Because we realized that there were so many boys and girls in the slum that had passed their A-levels and they were not doing anything. And Kiran was walking in the slums one day and she met this girl and she said, oh, what are you doing? You have passed your exam. She said, why don't you go to college? She said, I want to go to college, but I cannot. I'm dirty, I'm smelly, I have no money. So we said, no, this is some of... And we realized there were so many kids like this in the Asha areas after 12th standard or the A-levels. They didn't know what to do. And so we started these counseling sessions for them. And we got them together. It was very difficult. 3 months we put a stop to many of our ready-made to-do lists. We went on the backside. And this took, you know, really prominence in our work. And we started reaching out to them. They wouldn't come in the beginning. The parents wouldn't let them go. People criticized them. What, college? It's time to work and bring money. And we started giving them educational loans. We started, some of the students who are now going to college, we got them books, we got them shirts, shoes. And this is Pinky. She is a very beautiful girl, you will agree. And she's preparing herself to be an air hostess. And she comes from Ambedkar Basti, a top grade student. And the academy is very expensive, but she got a loan in the microcredit scheme. And she's not a defaulter. She's paying back the loan by working part-time. And she goes for her classes. And she's first time in her life she went into the pool because every air hostess should know how to swim. And so she's swimming and she's learning and she's completely chained. She was an ordinary slum girl, but today she's on her way up. And this is some of the boys and the girls in the academy. The boy on your left is Tariq. Tariq comes from a family of Muslims, and there were nine brothers and sisters he has. He was one of the dirtiest fellow we ever met. And he was absolutely, he wouldn't even brush his teeth, never comb his hair. His mother always complained. But if you see Tariq today, he's suited and booted and wearing a tie. And he has his whole good stuff that Asha has purchased for him. Shoes, trousers, you know, a coat. And he's got his perfume. He likes the brute. And he smells well. And he is such a gentleman. And he has learnt something which I learned from you to say, yes, please. Thank you. And he would say that. And he would, you know, make space for you. And he's so well-mannered. And I think he's on his way up. And he, in fact, because of him, he has begun to talk to his slum boys and girls in Sri Lumpur. They're watching Tariq. Tariq, what's wrong with you? He's a chain man. Whatever you do, you can bring glory to God. And who knows, one day, he may give his life completely. This is Shabnam, inside our home. A 92% holder in A-levels. Extremely intelligent. And she had a dream to pursue economics. And she's got admitted into one of the posh colleges today. It's called Kamala Nehru College. And she's into economics. And she's got a loan from us. She's got scholarships from us. And she's going to study. And she's going to change. And she's going to be make a difference in her community. Her parents were so excited. That first girl in the family getting to college. Praise the Lord. This is a real story of Mahesh. My daughter, younger one, has been very friendly with him, has been with him for many, many years, right when he was in school. He is now 11th grader. He is in a sixth form, what you'd call it here, and a bright student. In his GCSE, scored over 90%, and he didn't get admission into an English medium school. So Kiran used her good offices and talked to the secretary of the finance minister and told him his case. And he got admitted into an English medium school today. He's studying physics, chemistry, maths and computer science. And he is preparing himself to study. Getting himself ready to sit in one of the most prestigious exam in India, which is called the IIT. The IIT of India is the MIT of America. They're more or less equal in terms of engineering. And he's preparing himself for that entrance exam. It's a very expensive course, but Asha has given him a scholarship and has told him, we will stand with you, we will help you. And the other day, he came to me in the office and he said, I want a lab coat. So we got one from the store. Then he was quiet. I said, what else do you want? He said, I want some money to buy that novel, The Kite Runner. I said, why? He said, that's in our course. I said, okay, fine, go and buy the book. So you see, he doesn't feel bad now. He comes with confidence. He knows that, yes, we are there to help him. And it's like investing in this boy's life. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a TOEFL score of 103, 104, and a good SAT score. I'm sure Harvard or MIT would be very happy to give him a scholarship because he fits the place. He's a brilliant student. And that's Mahesh. And this is Arun. Arun comes from Mayapuri. I am reading out his case study for you. Arun moved to Delhi with his family in 1996 from a neighboring place in Uttar Pradesh, came in search of work, never found anything, ended up in Mayapuri. Last 12 years, he was struggling. His family had no money, and he had to endure great separation from his father because he was a farmer and he would go back to the village. During these challenging times of Arun's life, he got associated with the Bal Mandal that Asha runs in Mayapuri, and he got interested in our work. He became a member of the Bal Mandal, and he passed his A-level with good marks. Today, he's the only student in Mayapuri who has been admitted in the BA program into a very, very good college. And it's been a staggering transition for Arun to adjust to college life, because if you ever come to Mayapuri, it's always a bet that we have with some of our friends. If you can sustain the smell and the sounds and the terrible things there for more than 1 hour, you really deserve a good dinner. You know, it's absolutely stinking and horrible. But that's where he comes from. I say this because I think it was 12 years ago when Linda and Andrew felt to share with us their richness. and said, we would like to help you in Mayapuri. At that time in Mayapuri, we had nobody to fund us. We just started the work in faith. And they came along and supported us for 3 years. Gave us a mobile van and ambulance. And we ran a clinic. And today in Mayapuri, that place has grown. And we are so happy. The first one, the first student getting into a BA program. But he has inspired 12 students this year to get ready for college. Hallelujah. Amen. That is brilliant. And we had a bit of celebration when these 30 students got admitted into Delhi University. Cut a big cake, made a big lot of noise, encouraged them, blessed them, prayed for them. And this is another story of Shiv. Three times he tried his level best to get into fine arts degree college. All the three times he was admitted. Brilliant student. He could sit here and draw you in no time. He's such an intelligent boy. Lives in a slum. And he could not go there because the course fee was extremely high. And he gave up his dream. One day he met Kiran, and Kiran just began to talk to him and said, what are you doing, Shiv? Because we know he's to help us in painting. He said, nothing, I'm just working as a courier boy in a company. And she said, would you like to come and work with us in Asha? He said, yes. So he comes to Silampur. He works with the boys and girls there. He teaches them computers. And then Kiran offered to him and said, would you like to pursue your dream? And he said, it's too expensive. We said, we'll give you the money. So we gave him about £3,000. And we got him admitted into a multimedia center, which is called Arena. And they work on a software, which the same software which Hollywood makes of Spider-Man, Superman, all this kind of movies. The same kind of software the Indian Bollywood does. So he's into that kind of program. And there were some boys and girls from New Gen Church. And when they heard about his story, they said, we want to buy him a computer. So we didn't tell him that you're getting a computer. So we gave him a computer on his own that he can work in his slum hut and do his practical work. His story, he works in Asha from 8:30 to 4. 5 to 7, he's in the college. It's an evening course. 8 to 9:30, 10, he does private tutions. And then from 11, he has his meal, he works on his practical course. But he never had a computer, what to do? So he could never work. But now he has a machine, powerful one. I think some of us would not have such a powerful machine that this guy's got. I envied him. I said, oh, you got a good one, man. But I tell you, he is on his way up, and I'm sure that God will allow him to go higher and higher. Stuart, a head teacher in Northern Ireland, gave away two computers to two other boys, one on the right and the left. One is Rohit on the right and Shivlal Yadav. He's also in the same course that Asha is supporting them and helping them. And Rohit has got he lost his father, but his whole family are Christians. His mother came to know Christ in a miraculous way in Kusumpur Pari, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And though she lost her husband, there has always been food on the table. And today God has provided for them, for her son a scholarship, for her son a computer, and he's already getting assignments. He said to me, he's got an assignment for 10,000 rupees. And he asked me, he said, should I take the assignment? I said, don't. Finish your course. Be focused. Don't take up jobs now. You have the money. Asha is paying for your scholarship. Asha is paying you the money. Do your 3-year degree course. Because many children don't complete the course. Because in the second year, they start getting jobs. But if you complete the course, you are assured of at least 40,000 to 50,000 rupees pay a month. You know, big companies just take you like that. Because there are very few people. We are sitting on a $2 billion industry in India. In the multimedia animation industry. And it's a huge thing there. And if these kids do this, I'm sure lots of people will be released. This is college 2009. Our dream to see this many children out into college. Where in various places. And you will see in Mayapuri as well. And in the mobile van areas, which also your church has been supporting in the mobile van areas that we are working. There are 21 kids getting ready for college there, who are in their final year of school. In Silampur, it's a Muslim area, it's 21. Tigri is 24. Trilakpuri is again a Muslim area, it's 10. In some places it's only 5, some places it's 2. But it is happening. And we are hoping that more and more children will get into college and their lives will change. So what do we do? What's our strategy? We meet them often. We have counseling sessions, times of confidence building. The boy who is sitting next to Kiran, he is Arun, and that is Mayapuri that you're seeing today. And this many children get together on a regular basis, and they have counseling sessions, confidence building time. We discuss with them, say, hey, you can do it. You can do it. And in all our centers, we have computers, we have internet, we have email IDs for every child has got an email ID on Gmail. Every center has got an email system set up. We send emails, we correspond with emails, we encourage them. We tell them, don't be naughty and get onto naughty sites, we'll catch you. We have some very good systems in place, so they're very honest. They're very good boys and girls, because they get only 30 minutes every day to work on the internet. And then, in Mayapuri, there are so many boys who are now interested. Hey, they want to make a change in their lives. And we give them computer education. We also help them to serve, teach them, you know, discover. It's a time of learning. And we have English literacy classes. These are boys who came from Bath, and the other guy on the right is Graham from Northern Ireland. And they were teaching English for 8 weeks. In Mayapuri, Zakir, and different parts of the areas that we are working. And the strategy is simple. Give them English literacy class, take English literacy classes, give them computer education, and infuse them with confidence. Harvard student Devin, a Christian, worked in several areas for many, many weeks, 8 weeks to 10 weeks they were with us, and they took up classes where they were encouraging boys and girls how they can go forward in life. And this is Nick and my daughter doing a workshop in another slum area, especially among the girls. Now we want the girls to come out and get into college. And we also allow teams to come out like this. And this team came from Southampton. They said, we want to clean the drains. I said, boy, you fall into the drain, that's your party. So mine, okay? But they cleaned the drains. I allowed them to clean the drains. They wanted to get their hands dirty. I said, fine, you want to do it? Go ahead, go and clean the drains. But you know what happens when you do that? When you're putting your hands in the dirty places, you're actually telling the slum dweller, there's no difference between you and me. Yeah. I may be white, you may be brown, but we are all the same. I want to help you. It breaks barriers like this when you have games and we have teams come out. And this time we took so many boys and girls for their first Hindi Bollywood movie into a cinema hall. They see movies in their own homes, but never in a cinema hall. This was the first time. 300 kids, even grannies, the elderly people, they all said, we want to come. We've never been to a Bollywood movie in a cinema hall. So we took them. And it's all the things that we do. We may think, come on, give me a break, Freddie. What is a movie going to do? How is it going to bring glory to God? That's paganism and devilish. I tell you, brother, when you are willing to sit with them, when you're willing to share your life with them, when you're willing to tell them that I believe in you and I trust you, you are actually bringing in change. You're actually telling them, hey, you can do it, sir, and we are with you. And this is sometimes they go out for picnics like this. This is India Gate. The lady on the extreme right is Felicity, and she was with us for 6 weeks, and she's a practicing lawyer in London, and she came to work with us, and she was working with the children. And end of slideshow, but just to tell you, we are working amongst children, women, the elderly, all doing little things in our daily list, hoping that we will bring glory to God. And I want to bring glory to God. I know you are desirous. I know you have a passion in this church to see the whole area changed. And whatever little things you do, if somebody tells you it's useless, is lying. We started off in small things, and it has grown. We are hoping to put at least 200 children into college. We reach out to so many destitute men and women and the widows, because the Bible says they need to be taken care of. That is true religion. And we are helping them, providing for them. Little things in our list. Living to bring glory to Him is the all-consuming, driving, defining purpose.
that God has intended for our lives. Glorifying God simply means to do all we do in a way that communicates the attitudes and actions of God. If you can, I can communicate successfully the attitudes and actions of God who is in your midst and walking with you, you will fill life with His presence. But life is so full of complexities, isn't it? One day you are on a high, and the other day you are low down in the dumps. And that was so much true of David. One day he was running, and one day he was up. But God has helped us. As you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says like this: His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. He has given us great and precious promises so that through them, I never saw this. Through them. What? Through what? Through the promises of God. You may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world that is caused by evil desires. Through them, through the promises, you can partake of His divine nature. So if you and I appropriate the promises of God every day in our life, we're actually walking in the divine nature of God. Then do not be surprised that if your shadow falls on somebody and he gets up and says, I'm healed. Yeah. Hallelujah. That would just be normal. That would just be normal. Like it happened in Trilokpuri. Saroj prayed for a girl. And bloop, her eyes opened up. And she walked away. The mother caught hold of her. Where are you going? She said, I can see. And she died. What? And Saroj nearly collapsed. God did it. There are so many stories that come out in the slum churches that we see God miraculously intervening because people are participating in His divine nature by appropriating His promises daily. Moses ran from justice, yet God used him. Jonah ran away from God, yet God used him. Rahab ran a brothel, yet her name is found in the book of Heroes. Samson ran to the wrong woman, yet God moved on his behalf. Sarah ran out of hope, and Lot ran to the wrong crowd. But God used them all. Why can't God use us? He can, and He will. Not that I have already obtained at this, I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God wants us to come to a place of satisfaction so that multiplication is not for our pleasure, but to bring glory to His name. He wants us to come there. When others will see His mercy, His justice, His grace, His love, His tolerance, His generosity, His humility in everything that you do in church, and you also do outside church, they will be seeing the glory of God through your lives. And we need to tactfully give Him the credit. We need to be very careful to give Him the credit for all our accomplishments. And when we do that, it focuses the spotlight and applause on the right person. My friends, River is for the first time going to be on TV live, God channel. The temptation is awesome. Wish you could be like Benny Hinn on the white suit and coming around, oh, people clapping. The temptation is awesome. And the guy was playing the guitar, suddenly his body moves away. And I'm sure our dear friend Ollie is going to be on the drum and he's going to bang, bang, bang. I wouldn't be surprised he'd throw his stick up and pick it up and he's going to be, whoa. And all the camera TV is on that person. That temptation is there. But if you touch that glory, the river will stop flowing. Be assured, you may think that you have a river flowing. It is not flowing. People have the goody-goody feeling and there will be no transformation. There will be merely gathering information, but not having any transformation deep inside. So don't touch His glory. Tactfully give it to God. If you are a glory hunter, you can be rest assured you will dry up before you ever started. But if you give glory to God every day and say, Father, you give me this life, you give me this opportunity, and I'm going to bring glory to you. Whether I play the drum, or I play the sing, or I only have one thing to press a button, I tell you, the river will flow. The river will flow. God raised him, Christ, from the dead and set him on a throne deep in heaven, in charge of running the universe and everything from galaxies to garments. No name and not power. No power is exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. If Christ is the center, everything changes. No longer do you live to serve yourself. You live to serve him. You strive not to fulfill your will, but you only want to make Jesus the master of your domain. From self-centeredness to God-centered. From self-promotion to God-promotion. You know, in 1543, the world was rocking very well. There was a gentleman called Copernicus. He came along and he announced the sun and not the earth was the center of the solar system. Oh, blasphemy. How dare you say that? Joshua said, sun, stand still. You're against the Bible. And the church burnt Copernicus in the stake. Ptolemy had convinced the world otherwise. For 1400 years, they believed that the earth was the center of activity. It was a very enviable position. The change wasn't easy for Copernicus. The church burnt him. The change isn't easy for you and me, but it's worth to discover your place in the race. If you watch the presidential election, you had Obama eating. People were eating out of his hands. Every word that fell out of his mouth, people said, yes, we can. If that one gentleman could get the whole nation behind him, how many are we here? Spirit-filled, powerful Christians, full of power, of God's knowledge, filled with this Holy Spirit. We can have the world eating from our hands. We can. I mean, there's something wrong. Something is happening. I hope and I believe and I also pray that whatever God has called you to do, do not think it is a waste of time. Do not think it is useless. You can bring glory to His name. And that is our little story of Asha. I have a huge list every day I sit in the office. I never get to more than 5. I said, God, when am I ever going to finish this? But I learned, if I do something, let me do it properly. And God will get the glory. People are being saved. Andrew asked me, how is it some churches going on? Absolutely. Very well. It's not focused on Freddie or Kiran. There are ordinary people there which are running the slum churches. Ordinary people sharing the gospel. We do occasionally get speakers who speak very simple English and they share the word of God with them. But the river is flowing. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. They're rubbing oil in the hankies and sending it to the villages. And people are getting delivered. Hallelujah. That is the Lord. It's not Freddie. It's not Kiran. It's not Subodh. It's not Mahesh. It's not Sweeter or all our leaders that we have. It is the Lord. And He is now becoming the center of attraction. So let's give Him the applause. Let us every day make it our desire, tactfully, as you get onto live TV 2 days now, that I am going to see that God is going to be lifted up. My only desire is this nation, in every church, if that's your prayer, has the river flowing. Because you see, the first CD is out. There'll be many more to come now. And it's such an exciting time in your church, I think. You're on the brink of something, going to make a change. Hallelujah. May the Lord give you wisdom. and grace and an attitude to serve the community, and you will see big things happening. Hallelujah. We will be praying for you, and you pray for us, that our children get admission into colleges. More and more people get free and get jobs. The elderly women and brother, men and women, you know, who are there over 70, 75, find places of rescue and hope in as they come to our centers every day. And for Kieran and myself and our huge team that we have, that we may continue to strive. Not that we have attained it, but we continue to strain for and press forward so that God's name may be lifted up and He may be glorified. Thank you very much. Amen.